نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Recite what has been revealed to you of the book and establish Salah. Indeed, Salah prevents from indecency and every kind of evil, and the remembrance of Allah is greater indeed, and Allah knows what you do. We find in this one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined three of the most beautiful rituals in Islam. What is the first ritual? Recitation of the Quran. What is recitation of the Quran exactly? See, we recite the Quran in Arabic once in a lifetime and we think that's it. Tilawat is when you recite slowly and distinctly. So you recite the Quran in Arabic with attention to the proper pronunciation. Now that's not where it ends. We find that after reciting it, our duty is not yet over. We need to read it with understanding. It's not just these Arabic magic words that you recite without knowing what you're saying. If you're sick and you go to a doctor and he gives you a prescription, you won't just memorize the prescription without studying it and, you know, getting the medicines that he's told you to get. So we need to read it with understanding. And after reading it with understanding, we need to act upon it. Because knowledge without acting upon it is useless. And after acting upon it, we need to contemplate it further. People say, oh, don't tell me what's in the Quran. I've read the Quran. I know what's in it. That's not enough. No one can ever say, well, I know the Quran in and out. This Quran is the book of Allah. It's not a book written by any human being that we can claim that we've mastered the Quran. We need to contemplate its deeper meanings, and then we need to convey it. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was, there will be some people who recite the Quran, but it does not go beyond their throats. In other words, it's just words that they're reciting. They don't know what they're saying. They're not acting upon it. They're not conveying it. So they finish this Quran in Ramzan. Like people say, oh, I read 5 Qurans this Ramzan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then went on to say, they go out of Iman like an arrow leaving the bow. They've not understood the purpose of the Quran. And he went on to say, he has not believed in the Quran who makes its haram things halal. We read the Quran. We know what Allah is telling us to do. We know what Allah is forbidding us to do, but I'm not ready for it. So that means we don't have Iman in the Quran. It's a mockery then. The Prophet ﷺ also told us, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun lak aw alayk. Remember, the Quran will either be an argument in your favor or against you. Now he didn't say, and there'll be some people for whom the Quran will be silent. No. Either the Quran will speak out on our behalf or it will speak out against us. Now let's all of us think, what is this Quran going to do to me on the Day of Judgment? If I have acted upon it, and if I have conveyed its meaning, and if I have studied it, analyzed it, built a bond with it, then inshallah it will be an argument in our favor. But if I have neglected it, abandoned it, ignored it, found it boring, oppressive, a burden, then it will be an argument against us, God forbid. Now it starts with utlu, recite. Why is this recitation so important? Like some people say, oh, just read the translation, you don't have to read the Arabic. No, we find there's a blessing in the Arabic text. You'll have noticed sometimes that just listening to the sound of the Quran being recited brings peace to your heart. As that American convert Jeffrey Lang said, that when he first converted to Islam, he used to go to the congregational prayers, Fajr, Maghrib and Isha. And someone asked him, why do you go? You don't understand Arabic. So what difference does it make to you whether the Arabic is being recited aloud or softly? And he said, why is a baby comforted by his mother's voice? Is that our view when we hear the Quran? No, we hear the Quran and we think, oh God, now I know, now I'll have to act upon it. So we need to remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words. If we want this Quran to intercede on our behalf, we have to develop a bond of love with it. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. It's the rope of Allah. Why does Allah call the Quran His rope? When do we need a rope? If a man's drowning in a stormy sea, he needs a rope. If a man's sinking in quicksand, no way out, he needs a rope. The only means of salvation. What else does a rope do? It connects us. And it connects us to Allah. وَأَقِنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Establish Salah. Don't just stop there. In our Quran Qanis, we see people, oh, let me finish my separa, and so they miss out on Asr. Aqim as-salah. See, Islam teaches us balance. Don't exceed the limits in anything, that you're so busy reading the Quran, you have time for nothing else. No, don't neglect salah. Establish salah. Why? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Because salah forbids you from indecency and it stops you from all that is wrong. Now this is very interesting because we often hear people say, oh, I've seen those people who read their prayers and I know exactly how crooked and how dishonest and how cruel they are. That means their salah is not helping them. But that doesn't mean that we should condemn salah and say, oh, salah is useless, it doesn't help me do anything. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah is teaching us something about salah here. That this is what our salah should be doing. That after praying, we should become better people. See, we commonly think of salat as being Allah's right upon us. And oh, I have to read salat because Allah has told me to read salat. It's much more than that. When we are in salat, we are standing before Allah, praising Allah, glorifying Allah. If we can experience the true joy of salat, we will find we can become better human beings. And we can give more love to the people around us. Indeed, salat prevents from evil and indecency. See, what exactly happens in salah? How do we start salah? We start by saying, Allahu Akbar. Now that's the most important truth in our lives. Because we all say, Pehla kalma tayyab, la ilaha illallah, without even knowing or caring what it truly means. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. I will fear Allah above all. I will obey Allah above all. I will love Allah above all. Now if after reading that salam, I start doing what I want to do rather than what Allah wants me to do, then I just said a lie. And that salat will also speak out against me. Then what happens? Then we glorify Allah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabaraka ismuk wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. There is no God but you. None is worthy of being obeyed but you. Then we read Fatiha. We read the hadith Qudsi in which Allah tells us that when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah answers us. And says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has glorified me. Then when we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah answers us and says, my slave has exalted me. Then when we say Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah says, Majjadani Abdi, O Asna Alayya Abdi, my slave has exalted me, extolled me. But we're so busy mumbling Fatiha as fast as we can so we can finish our salat, we don't even think of it as a conversation. When you're talking to someone, you wait for their response. So that's why some scholars say that when reading Fatiha, pause after each ayat. Wait for Allah's response. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the end, this was for my slave and my slave shall have what he asked for. But that is only if we ask for guidance with all our heart. Then what do? We read any surah from the Quran and then we go down in ruku. What does ruku symbolize? That we are inclining towards Allah, that we are turning towards Him, we are seeking Him. When we straighten up again, we say, سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Allah has heard the one who has glorified him. What do people say? Allah is not listening. I prayed and prayed and I read so many tahajjud prayers and Allah didn't listen. In our own salat, we avow that Allah is listening. But Allah listens to the one who praises him. And then we say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. And O our Lord, all praise belongs to you. Do you know how we started to say Rabbana walaka alhamd? That the first time salat was prayed and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leading the Muslims in prayer and he said Samia Allahu liman hamida, and one man just called out spontaneously Rabbana walaka alhamd, and O our Lord, praise belongs to you. When the prayer was over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked around and said, where's the man who called out these words? And that man came forward fearfully, we don't even know his name, and he said, I'm sorry, Messenger of Allah, I couldn't help it. He said, do you know Allah has loved your words so much, He has said that they will be included in the prayer. Subhanallah, we don't know this man's name, but every one of us who reads Rabbana walakal hamd, that man is getting the sawab for it as well. Then we go down into sajda, and sajda is the most sublime aspect of the whole salat. What happens in sajda? We're placing this intellect, these eyes, these ears, this mouth, before Allah, that these eyes will see what my Allah wants me to see, and these ears will listen to what my Allah wants me to hear, and this brain will think the way my Allah wants me to think. Is that how we perceive sajda? Complete surrender. Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. I have surrendered. No, we just bang our head on the ground once and raise it up quickly. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salat forbids evil and indecency. How does salat forbid evil and indecency? 5 times a day Allah calls us to Him. Like a mother calling her child, come rest in my lap. Tell me what happened to you today. But we don't see it as an invitation of love. We see it as a burden. The Prophet ﷺ once said, imagine if there was a stream outside your house and 5 times a day you washed yourself in that stream. You would always be pure. So we need to remember the purpose of salah. It's not just fulfilling that duty. It's to inculcate that Allah consciousness within us. It's to perpetuate that sensitivity that Allah is watching me. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the remembrance of Allah is even greater. Look at the 3 stages. It starts with recitation of the book, with building a relationship through the Quran. Then that's not the only relationship you have with Allah. You can build a relationship through salah. And then we have the ultimate relationship with Allah. Zikrullah. Remembering Allah. How do we remember Allah? Just by saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah? That's just one aspect of zikr. And that's the same zikr of which the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillahi wa Subhanallahi, fill what is between the heavens and the earth. If we read them with the right amount of awe, not if we're just muttering them. There are other aspects of zikr. Sometimes you're sitting by yourself, you're just talking to Allah. Why Allah? Please help me be a good Muslim. And you're just speaking to Him in your heart and nobody knows that you're doing that. And what does Allah say of such remembrance? أَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي. I am with my slave when he remembers me. If he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart. So when we're talking to Allah, we need to know He's answering us. The Prophet ﷺ said of the 7 kinds of people, who will be in Allah's shade on the day when there is no shade will be a man who remembered Allah in solitude and his eyes brimmed over with tears. That's all. Nothing else. Just that moment of love. Just that moment when his heart filled with love and gratitude and adoration of Allah. La dhikrullahi akbar. The remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in this world. If you only knew. And what has the Prophet ﷺ told us? Do as much zikr as you can, even if people call you a madman or a show-off. That's what people say, oh, you know, she just likes to act like this do-gooder, remembering Allah all the time. The Prophet ﷺ said, let no one stop you from remembering Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Allah knows what you're doing. He knows whether we're remembering Him, whether we're praying, whether we're not praying, whether we're not interested in remembering Him, whether we're not ready to remember Him. Allah knows what you do. And argue not with the people of the book, unless it be in a way that is better, except with such of them as do wrong, and say to them, we believe in that which has been revealed to us and revealed to you. Our God and your God is one, and to Him we have submitted. Allah teaches us dawah. How do we call people towards Islam? We like to start by the controversial points, things that nobody can agree on. Allah says, start by talking about mutual beliefs. When you're talking to the Jews and the Christians, don't start by criticizing their beliefs, the points whereby they differ with you. Start by the mutual beliefs. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. Thus we have sent down the book to you. And those to whom we gave the scripture believe therein, as also do some of these. And none but the disbelievers reject our signs. How do we reject the Quran? One way of rejecting the Quran is to say, I don't believe what's in the Quran. I don't agree with what's in the Quran. Another way of rejecting what's in the Quran is when I'm just not acting upon it. And the third way of rejecting the Quran is to say, oh, don't tell me. If I know, I have to act upon it. Allah says, none but the disbelievers reject our signs. Neither did you read any book before it, nor did you write any book with your right hand. In that case, indeed, the followers of falsehood might have doubted. Now some Muslims find this a sense of shame that the Prophet ﷺ was unlettered. But really that was the most beautiful miracle of all. And that was the greatest proof that this Quran is the book of God. How could a man who was unlettered have produced a book as unparalleled in knowledge, wisdom, science, history, you name it, the Quran has it. Every aspect of knowledge is found in this book. And that's why it was imperative that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be unlettered, so that nobody would be able to bring up this argument that he wrote it himself. But some people still do that. No, but these clear signs are preserved in the breasts of those who have been given knowledge, and none but the wrongdoers deny our signs. First Allah said they were kafirun, now Allah says they are zalimun. People who are denying the Quran, always finding fault, always picking some criticism. They say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are only with Allah, and I am only a plain warner. Is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you the book, which is recited to them? Indeed, there is mercy and a reminder for people who believe. People say, oh, the Quran frightens us. Allah is saying the Quran is mercy, but you need to have iman. If we don't have iman, then we will find it frightening and we will find it oppressive. But if we have iman, the stronger our iman, the more joyous our perception of this Quran will be. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Say to them, sufficient is Allah for a witness between me and you. He knows what is in the heavens and on earth. And those who believe in false and disbelieve in Allah, it is they who are the losers. What is this false? All that is apart from the Quran. We like to follow the Orientalist theories. We like to follow their science. If the West says that, oh, you know, so-and-so scientific theory has been proved, then we look in the Quran and say, that's right, and this Quran contains it. But if their science does not prove it, does not corroborate it, we won't accept it. Allah says, those who believe in false and disbelieve in Allah, it is they who are the losers. And they ask you to hasten on the torment for them. And had it not been for a term appointed, the torment would surely have come to them. And surely it will come upon them suddenly. While they perceive not, they ask you to hasten on the torment. And indeed hell of a surety will encompass the disbelievers. Who are the disbelievers? Those who reject the Quran. On the day when the torment shall cover them from above them and from underneath their feet, and it will be said, taste what you used to do. See, when we read descriptions of hell, we think, oh, how can Allah punish people like that? Allah says, no, this is justice. What are they being told? Taste what you used to do. Think about what we are doing right now. Are we preparing a Jannah for ourselves? Or are we, God forbid, piling up fuel for a fire in hell? Ya ibadiya alladhina amanu. Oh, my slaves who have iman. See with what love Allah addresses us, and we say, I'm not ready for Allah. O my slaves who have iman, inna ardi wasi'a. Indeed, my earth is spacious. Fa iyyaya fa'budun. So worship me alone. Now what does this mean? What does Allah mean that my earth is spacious? Who is it that we commonly blame when we're disobeying Allah? You know, it's so difficult and society is so far removed from Islam, and my friends find it so strange if I were to start obeying Allah and start praying. So what can I do? It's the fault of my environment and I can't do anything about it. Allah says, these are just excuses. My earth is vast. If your friends don't let you obey Allah, then change your friends. If your society doesn't let you obey Allah, then change your society. But remember, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. None has the right to be worshipped and obeyed but Allah. How does Allah describe the Muslim Ummah? لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Fearless. No compromise, no apologies. They do not fear the blame of anyone who blames them. Anyone who's taunting them, calling them fundo or fanatic or maulvi, they just shrug their shoulders. It doesn't affect them in the least. Why? Because they're focusing on Allah. As the Egyptian girl in CNN, when they asked her, why do you do hijab and you don't even look good in it? She said, I want to look pretty in Allah's eyes, not in your eyes. That's fearlessness, that's iman. Allah says, my earth is spacious, therefore worship me alone. This excuse will not stand good with Allah. Oh Allah, my friends didn't let me obey you. We can change our friends, but remember, فَإِيَّا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Worship is for Allah alone. Why? What's so important about it? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Everyone shall taste death. Are we going to live here with these friends forever? These friends who encourage us to disobey Allah, and those friends who encourage us to stay away from Allah, are we going to live on with them? That, oh, I'm not going to die, I'm just going to go on having parties with my friends. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. We are going to die and those friends are going to die. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Then it is to us that you shall be returned. Who is Malik Yawmiddin? Allah. Not our friends. Our friends won't be asked, well, you tell me then, should this person be forgiven or not? Our friends tell us, do this sin for my sake. What have we been told in the Quran? لا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى. No burdened soul can bear the burden of another. This is a fallacy. This is a delusion. We find in the Quran that on that day, the weak will say to their leaders, you're the ones who misled us. You're the ones who led us astray. Now help us. And they'll say, of course we can't help you. If we could have helped anyone, we'd have helped ourselves. And on that day, they will regret and say, Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I had not taken this person for a friend. So Allah is saying, choose your friends now. Before it's too late, friends will bring us closer to Allah, not take us away from Him. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And those who have iman and do good deeds. We rely upon our iman. Oh, I've said la ilaha illallah and I'm a good Muslim, so Allah will forgive me. That's not enough. Those who have iman and do good deeds. Suppose you open a bank account and you don't deposit any money in it. And then you go there with a check for a huge amount of money. They're not going to give you any money. And you say, no, but I opened this account. And they'll say, it wasn't enough that you opened the account. You had to deposit something in it. So we might have opened the account. We might have said, la ilaha illallah. But if we're not depositing anything in the account, we're not going to get anything. Those who believe and do good deeds, to them we shall surely give lofty dwellings in paradise, underneath which rivers flow, to live therein forever. Ni'ma ajrul amilin. How beautiful is the reward for the workers. Allah doesn't say how beautiful is the reward for the Muslims or how beautiful is the reward for those who were born Muslims and who said La ilaha illallah. For the workers, those who achieved something, those who deposited some good deeds in that account. Alladhina sabaru. Those who are patient. What is sabr? To be constant in obeying Allah. Not that we pray when our friends aren't there and when our friends come around, we're too embarrassed to get up or we're too busy having a good time to pray. Alladhina sabaru, those who are constant and they trust in their Lord. They're not afraid of people. See, sometimes we find like people say, you know, I have to do social drinking because otherwise my boss will be angry with me. Allah says that's not iman. Iman means you do whatever you're doing for Allah's sake and you trust in Allah. What is it that we're afraid of? That our dunya will be taken away? That our boss will fire us? He won't promote us because we're not progressive enough? Then listen to this. How many a moving creature does not carry its own provision? Allah provides for it and for you. And He is the All-Hearer, the All-Knower. Look at the animals. Do they carry their food around with them? No, they trust in Allah. So Allah is teaching us a lesson. Don't rely upon people for your risk. Don't suck up to people. Don't compromise your deen for people's sake. So you can get promoted or you can get some advancement in the dunya. Risk is in Allah's hands alone. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ And He is the All-Hearer. He can hear our false excuses, our phony statements. You know, it's so difficult. And the circle that I move around in, I have to have those parties because of my husband's job. Allah says He is the All-Hearer. He can hear what you're saying. Al-Aleem. He knows what the truth is. And what is the truth? That Allah's earth is spacious. If our friends are not letting us obey Allah, then please change your friends before it's too late. And if you were to ask these people who created the heavens and the earth and subjected the sun and the moon, they will surely reply Allah. People say, no, we are good Muslims. We know Allah has created us. Then if we know that Allah has created us, why aren't we obeying Allah? How then are they being deluded? Allah enlarges the risk for whom He wills of His slaves and straightens it for whom He wills. The Prophet ﷺ once told us that if the whole ummah, if the whole nation were to gather together to try and benefit you, they couldn't benefit you one jot, one atom, except as much as Allah has willed for you. And if the whole nation were to gather together to try and harm you, they could not harm you one jot, except as much as Allah has ordained for you. In other words, our risk, our life depends not upon people. It's not about what our bosses will think of us or what our friends will say of us. It's about what Allah thinks of us and what Allah has destined for us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ Allah knows everything. He knows the truth of the situation. If you were to ask them, who sends down water from the sky and gives life therewith to the earth after its death, they will surely reply, Allah. It's not that they don't believe in Allah. قُلْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ Tell them, all praises belong to Allah. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ But most of them are not using their brains. Now this is really interesting. Whom do we call street smart? Someone who knows how to get promotions and knows how to please his boss and how to please his friends, and he's got people wrapped around his little finger. What is Allah saying? These people are not using their brains. They know Allah is giving them everything they have or ever will hope to have. Still they're not obeying Allah. Still they're following other gods, their society, their friends, their own desires. Most of them are simply not using their brains. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The life of this world is only an amusement and a play. These coffee mornings and these children and this job that we worship and our houses that we spend all day adorning, it's just an amusement and a play, like a pretty little bubble. Imagine a child blowing bubbles. It's a beautiful bubble, but it's not going to last. It's going to burst. Allah says the life of this world is just amusement. It's deception, illusions. And the life of the hereafter, that's the true reality. See, if you go to see a cricket match, you get involved, right? And then what happens? You're cheering when you're winning and you're sad if you're losing. But when the match is over, what do? Do you stay in the stadium forever? Do you say, no, we've lost the match and I'm going to kill myself? No, only a loser would do that. If you go to see a play in a theater, what happens? It's a very interesting play. You're engrossed totally. But at the end of the play, you leave the theater. You know it's not true. It's just a farce. It's just a story. Allah says, these lives of yours, these children, these houses, these cars, these bank balances, these clothes, they're not going to last. مَعِنْدَكُمْ Whatever is with you will finish. It will perish. Our children will die. We will die. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَبْقَى That which is with Allah is better and more lasting. Now Allah has not forbidden us from the dunya. We're not supposed to, give up our houses and go and start living in caves. That's not Islam. But we're supposed to remember the purpose of our life. When dunya takes us closer to Allah, when we're using our wealth to bring us closer to Allah, whether by giving sadaqah or by using it for Islam, then that wealth is a blessing. But when that wealth is making us forget that we should be worshipping Allah or obeying Allah, then that wealth is a curse and the choice is ours. Indeed, the home of the hereafter, that is the true reality. If only they knew. How long will any of us live in this world? 60, 70, 80 years? If, that many? And then what? The grave. We don't like to think about the grave. Oh, the grave is too frightening. I'm not ready to think about the grave. So when will we be ready? When we see the angel of death? That's when we'll start thinking about death and what we should have been doing. When a man dies, what do the people say? What has he left behind? And what do the angels ask? What has he sent ahead? What preparations has he made for that journey? لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ If only they knew. And when they embark on a ship, they invoke Allah, making their faith pure for Him only. That's how selfish we are. We disobey Allah day in, day out, and the first thing that goes wrong, we make wazifas, and we read nafas, and we give sadqas, and we make vows. Allah, save me from this, and I'll do this for you. They call to Allah, making their faith pure for Him only. But when He brings them safely to land, behold, they give a share of their worship to others. How convenient. The trouble's over, so I don't need to read that wazifa anymore. And I don't need to read my prayers anymore. And I can relax and start having a good time again. So that they become ungrateful for that which we have given them. And that they take their enjoyment. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ They will come to know. Have they not seen that we have made a secure sanctuary while men are being snatched away from all around them? Then do they believe in falsehood and deny the graces of Allah? And who does more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah or denies the truth when it comes to him? Is there not a dwelling in hell for disbelievers? We've invented many lies for ourselves, haven't we? Allah's Ghafoor Rahim. Allah's not going to ask you about something like this. Who's told us that Allah's going to forgive us all our sins? It's a lie we've invented for ourselves. Who is it that Allah forgives? The one who seeks His forgiveness. Not the one who casually dismisses Allah and goes on doing what he likes, saying, Allah's going to forgive me. And the next ayat is very important. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And as for those who do jihad in our path, we will surely guide them to our path. And indeed Allah is with those who do ihsan. See, what's the most common excuse we hear?
You know, if Allah wanted to guide me, He'd have guided me. I want to pray, but I don't feel ready for prayers. And when I pray, it doesn't make any difference. So I'm waiting for the day when I wake up a little angel and a little saint, and then I'd start praying and worshipping Allah. Allah says, those who do jihad, those who try and seek me, who seek my pleasure, who undergo some sacrifices, who give of their time, knowledge, talents and energies for my path, those are the ones who shall be guided. Not people who sit back complacently and say, well, if Allah wants to guide me, He will guide me. Then I know He'll guide me one day. No, the first step is ours. We need to take that first step. And once we take just that one step towards Allah, what does Allah tell us in a hadith Qudsi? When my slave comes towards me walking, I go to him running. Subhanallah. We will definitely guide them to our path. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Allah is with those who do ihsan. See, our problem is we're too impatient. We think that the Quran or Salat or Islam should be like a magic wand. One day of reading the Quran and I should change. And if I haven't changed, then that means there's no point in my reading the Quran. And there's no point in my reading Salat since I'm as wicked as ever. It's not just this overnight transformation. Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a continuous process of seeking, a continuous process of struggle, of self-discipline. That's why in Fatiha, every day we read, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Why are we praying for the straight path? We're all Muslims. Allah is reminding us that seeking guidance is a continuous process, one that takes us a whole life long.